Radio Tonic.
So the first thing I remember was the woman screaming, "What the hell are you doing? Don't just stand there, help me!" The station wagon had sped through the intersection and collided with the minibus, and the impact had sent it spinning off the road. The bus was full of dazed senior citizens who were now trying to collect themselves after the shock of it all. But it was the station wagon that seemed poised for tragedy. The entire front had crumpled into itself. The rest of it teetered on the edge of a ditch. Through the shattered glass sat two women in their 30s. I'd heard the crash from inside the house and ran out to see what had happened and stood there gobsmacked. It wasn't until the passenger crawled out of the car yelling at me before I realised I wasn't just watching TV. We were on a summer holiday, my friends and I. Becky had rustled up a rental house in a small coastal town, and Sonic, AK, Abs and I were coming along for a week of beach games and shenanigans. And so it was the five of us bursting out of the house running towards the crash. The first responders at the scene. I got to the station wagon first. In the back seat were two young boys still strapped into their child seats. I remember the one in front of me the most. Broken glass, his bloody foot, his scared and confused gaze. Mostly I remember barking, "Is anything broken?" and checking him over when his little face burst into frightened wailing. Habit of casually daydreaming about these sorts of situations. There are events in which I get a call to action to save the day. While I'm waiting for the bus to arrive, for instance, I've tackled a purse snatcher and returned a handbag to the grateful old lady next to me.
Oh, thank you, love.
I've been a patient on Grey's Anatomy, whose triumphant spirit inspires all.
Clear!
And I've carried an entire family out of their burning house, including the plucky pet dog that had the smarts to bark for help. In these fantasies, no one cries. They fall on my neck gratefully and tell me they owe me their lives. "Whoa," I tell them. "I'm no hero. I was in the right place in the right time. Please, no interviews. I just want to get back to my regular life." I think to myself, I'm not being self-indulgent. Sooner or later, one of these things is bound to happen. The kid. He'd taken one look at me and burst into tears. His mother, who was still trapped in the driver's seat, was in shock. Her hands were still on the wheel. She could barely hear her friend telling her, "It's okay, Janine. Everything's okay. We'll get you out." The passengers on the bus had got off and began to mill around as local residents descended on the scene. But let's rewind a little. Yes, we were on a summer holiday, my friends and I. We were there for beach games and shenanigans. And by shenanigans, I mean the film we were shooting, starring all of us. It was a fake trailer for a situation comedy about a family of goths that we called The Goths Must Be Crazy. Without too much thought to the narrative arc, the basic concept consisted of a series of scenes of everyday life, but with, plot twist, goths. Goths at the beach, goths having a sleepover, goths at a baby shower. Abs was dressed as Brandon Lee's The Crow. Becky sported a more romantic goth look. AK reluctantly wore a long black cape and evil goatee, while Sonic took her inspiration from Slash from Guns N' Roses. My muse was Robert Smith. We'd been bickering in the humidity because shooting was taking so long and everyone else wanted to go swimming. "I told you guys that filmmaking wasn't glamorous," I fumed. And it was during the shooting of our film that the crash occurred. When I remember it now, everything happens in slow motion. The crash impact, a gaggle of goths bursting onto the scene. This small child crying at my poorly applied goth makeup as I carry him to safety. The Crow dialing 000, the last of AK's silky black cape disappearing into the bus. Sonic racing back to the house for blankets, her teeny tiny top hat bobbing away, while Becky calms the children down as official help arrives, frilly sleeve cuffs flapping in the breeze. As we waited for the distressed mother to be cut out of the driver's seat, some locals were rubbernecking, others assisting where they could. A collective relief settled in. All was well. And everyone was finally at leisure to notice how we looked. We made a poor attempt to be cool about it and a show of saying, well, I think we've done all we can here. And then we awkwardly backed away from the scene. We went back to shooting the film. This time we were doing a scene of goths singing a Doobie Brothers song at the organ. A couple of neighbours stopped by to return the blankets after it was all over. We were making a film, I said lamely, while they laughed in my face. Of course you are, they said.
The Goths Must Be Crazy, written by Cumin Liu. Music was composed by Luke Minot and Geoff Bush. Sound engineering by Luke Minot and Andrei Shebanov. I'm Sherry DeLeese. For more storytelling with a twist, subscribe to the Radiotonic podcast or download the ABC Radio app.